my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it is a Patreon pick, and it's from our good friend Maths. And we are going back some years here, Dave. Now, this is the year you were born. We go back to 1963. And this is a classic that it must be one of the most played movies on UK TV. I've seen bits of this. I've never actually watched it all the way through, but I have seen bits of this movie continually over the years, Dave. So we are going to be covering today Jason and the Argonauts. So I know there's a bit of history there, Dave, but what do you remember about first seeing this one?
I just always remember this being on. I had it taped off the TV, but every Christmas, obviously we're out of Christmas now, aren't we? But, you know, every Christmas on UK TV, it would be on TV. And even though I had it taped, there was something about it. You know, when it comes on TV, and you've missed like the first 10 minutes or something, it's just like, oh, I'm gonna have to watch it all now. And that's it, you know, you have to stop what you're doing and watch the rest of it. And right, we talked many times about all the whole podcast is about all the shit movies we used to watch, but you know, the like fantastical movies, there aren't that many. And this is basically the Greek Avengers. This is what kind of, you know, the Avengers and the Justice League, they're pretty much based on these old Greek tales, these old Greek legends and everything. But, you know, around this time, you know, it wasn't, they certainly weren't doing any comic book movies, but also not that many fantastical original things. We talked last week about, you know, doing the Bible type stuff as well, but there was this one, there was Clash of the Titans that I used to love as well, and it, in my memory those two get mixed up a little bit. You know, there's something about the stop animation that they do, it just merges the two together. So when I got to the end of this one, I was thinking, oh, is that it? I was where's Medusa? <You know>? Which is out of Clash of the Titans. Don't watch the remakes, by the way. Terrible, horrible movies. But, yeah, so absolutely love this one, you know, and it was one of those that it's cross-generational as well. Chris, this is 60 years old now. 60 years old.
It is. Well, you're right, 2023. Jesus.
Yeah. So it was a cross-generational one as well because, you know, I used to watch it with my dad and stuff, and, you know, he used to love it. But, you know, you'd think even generations before that would probably remember when it came out and stuff. Although I say that, you know, it bombed at the box office, which is crazy. You know, if you think about how legendary it is now, it cost $3 million. That is back in 63. Cost $3 million to make. At the box office, made $2.1 million. And you're sort of thinking, well, most of the time you would never hear of that again, but you know, I don't even know if it would have made that much in movie rentals, because you know, in 63 no one would have had in the UK no one would have had a fucking colour TV, you know, never mind a video player. So, you know, I guess that's why the TV companies were able to get it so easily. But yeah, just nothing but good things to say about this, Chris. I mean, how about yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've completely avoided this. I always thought, oh, this is absolute garbage. I'm not watching this. It's just not my thing. But I think, did they call it motion stop? Is it like the
like stop motion
stop
animation.
Motion stop, yeah, motion, yeah. Stop fucking hell. Yeah, but yeah, so I always remember like the different battles with like the skeletons coming on, and you'd see stuff in the water with the big guy, you know, who like goes huge. So these things I remember about it, but never understanding what the plot was about. And And then we talked about this last week. I always thought this was like a 3-hour movie, but it's not. It's an hour and 44 minutes. But obviously, in the UK, we get like an ad break every 15 minutes. If it's on like ITV or Channel 4, it'd be like a 2.5-hour movie. I do think I've seen it a lot on BBC too, but it always one I avoid. I thought, I'm not watching this. It's going to be on for hours. And it's not actually. It's not a bad time or the pacing of it, so I can't honestly understand why I've never seen it. But with it being sort of that mythical world shit, is probably why I avoided it. If it wasn't martial arts or something like that, that's probably why. And with it being from the 60s, I like some older films definitely, but I just completely avoided it for years. I've avoided it, going, I'm not watching this, it's terrible, you know. And I'm sort of revealing my hand a little bit, Dave, but I'm a bit disappointed that I haven't watched it before.
Well, it's never too late, is it, I guess? But, you know, I'm trying to think now. Was Goldfinger... Is this the oldest movie we've done? I'm trying to think when Goldfinger was.
Goldfinger might just be before then, I think. I mean, 61 Goldfinger, if I'm right. I could be wrong.
64, no.
Oh, no, right. So this is.
Yeah, it's just 64. And, of course, there is a bit of a crossover there, Chris, because the lovely Honor Blackman was in that one as well.
Oh, yes. Dave.
So I recognised her when she came up. And was it Athena she was playing? I'm not sure. Hera she was
Hera,
playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
And the Argonauts, the classic story of an epic voyage that has been told and retold since the birth of Western civilization, now presented on the screen for the first time.
Pull! Pull! Do your hearts crack and your backs break?
Jason and his band of Argonauts, the mightiest warriors the world of adventure has ever known, in search of the fabulous magic golden fleece.
Where will you find this miracle?
I have heard there is a tree at the end of the world, with a fleece of gold hanging in its branches.
Here is the magnificent excitement of that legendary time when men like gods and gods like men lived and loved violently. Todd Armstrong and Nancy Kovac portray the classic lovers. Jason, the man who challenges the gods. Medea, who betrays a kingdom for love. Acastus, driven by a lust for power. Hera, goddess and woman, who defies the might of Zeus, king of the gods, who unleashes his fury at rebellious mortals. The Argonauts, caught in the clutches of the towering bronze giant Talos. The Argonauts, battling vulturous harpies. Jason, threatened by the seven-headed Hydra. Medea, the temple dancer. Mysterious, exciting, and exotic. Jason, battling the army of skeletons.
Kill, kill, kill them all!
One man defying a universe of mortal and immortal danger. Jason and the Argonauts. A search that became a legend.
Pelias usurps the throne of Thessaly. That's easy for me to say. Killing King Aristo. Prophecy states that one of Aristo's children will avenge him. The infant Jason, Aristo's son, is spirited away by one of Aristo's soldiers. Pelias slays one of Aristo's daughters after she seeks sanctuary in the temple of the goddess Hera. Fucking hell, Chris. This is worse than the French one. Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
I'm so pleased that when we started like navigating our podcast, like the Comics in Motion and this, that you do the intros, because sometimes I'm giggling, I fucking mute my mic and everything, because like, you're really good with your words and I rush, but I'm thinking, fucking, I will be tripping. We'd be about 50 outtakes, I think, if I'd read that. Anyway, well done, Mr. Horrocks. It's interesting because I didn't understand the context of this movie, even though I said I've caught bits of it, I've watched it in little stages and like the stop motion stuff I've seen and some of the fights, I didn't understand what the movie's about, but it's ultimately a team up movie, which is right in my wheelhouse. Yes, it's 60 years old now, 59 years old, and you can tell its age. However, I really got into it. It happens pretty quick, the movie. I was dead surprised. I know I've said this, that I thought it was longer. It's not. It's like an hour and 44, which is brilliant. Really, it's perfect timing. The full version on YouTube for everybody, a HD version, so, you know, HD as best you can. It's remastered, so get on that, guys. It's fully there. Yeah, they've totally took me off guard. Completely didn't expect the little team up. Love the fact that, you know, Jason's plucked from obscurity, this baby again, and we've seen that in some of these other movies we've done. I think, what was it, that Hawk the Slayer, Dave? Not Hawk the Slayer. What the fuck is it called? Was it Hawk the Slayer? What's the one? There was one where there was a baby who was about to be killed and it got whisked away and it ended up being the hero in one of the movies we've covered on VHS.
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, from early stories, like Bible stories and stuff, you have that kind of theme, don't you? And Pelias, you know, he's there. He's going to kill Jason, but then Hera kind of tells him, oh no, if you destroy Jason, you'll be destroyed yourself. And then he's like, oh, you know, you made me kill this girl. you bastard. So I think it's just a running theme. I can't recall a movie where we've done and there's a baby that grows up. It's not Hawk the Slayer. I mean, he's just straight off the bat. He's at loggerheads with his evil brother, isn't he, Voltan? And yeah. Who's about 30 years older than him.
And his dad. Brilliant, that Jack Palance. So good.
Yeah. But I tell you, you're saying about the team-up movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but Tony's posted on Daily Motion, there is a copy of the Justice League of America TV pilot from 1997, Chris.
Oh, now, my God.
You know it's going to be terrible. But, you know, like you say, this is a team-up movie, Jason and the Argonauts is. So, you know, it's things like the Avengers, like the Justice League. For me, they've come from these original stories, like, you know, the Argonauts all coming together and going off on a mission and stuff. So you can see how it's influenced the modern kind of superhero genre, if you like. But, Chris, we're going to have to review that at some point.
Yeah. No, I'm just, as you're saying it, I'm thinking fucking Fantastic Four, Dave, you know, the OG fucking 90s one, which is unbelievable. So, yeah, no, we've got to put that down. Maybe even do our Comics in Motion return off it, Dave.
Yeah. Like the Phoenix from the Flames will return with a right old steaming pile there.
Yeah, I'm still fizzing about, what's it called, the stupid Marvel
Eternals.
One. Eternals, fuck me. That would get full barrels if we make a comeback in comics, because that is fucking shit. Anyway, but I will say that what I love is, so you get the little team up thing. It comes to 20 years later, bit suspect. Jason does look older than 20 years later. Found out that Todd Armstrong, his voice is dubbed, Dave, by a guy called Tim Turner, because he's an American. And then Media as well, the lady, that's dubbed by someone called Eva Haydon. So very bizarre that. Obviously, it's medieval Greece. No one's fucking Greek. Everyone's English, pretty much. Yeah,
everyone's speaking like they've just come out of the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you get this thing where he's like, gets the team together. And I love it. I love Hercules. Hercules is just some fucking tall guy with a beard. You know, in these days, he'd be like 6'8". It'd be Dave Bautista, wouldn't he, or The Rock or someone. He'd be some, yeah. You know, I think The Rock's played Hercules at some point, but you've got these massive gearheads now, whereas in this, it's just, he's the tallest of a bad bunch, and he's there, and he's doing his thing, and he's fucking ends up being his pal, Helas, whatever he's called, Hylas. He's the brains of the operation, Dave. He skims the discus and fucking, you know, he ends up getting a fucking little sash from Jason. He's part of the team. I loved all that. It was so quick, the team up together. But it got me, this was like, oh, Chris, why have you never watched this before? This is so up my alleyway, I think, Dave.
Yeah, definitely. I think the sort of mini Olympics, for me, that's one of the best bits of the movie. And I think... Yes. There's loads of slow bits, but then you've got dotted in it. You've got lots of these little set pieces, and the kind of mini Olympics is one of my favorite bits. And you've got all the different, you know, events that someone will excel at. Like you've got the guy who's great at swimming. He's kind of like your Aquaman type. You've got Hercules who turns up late, and you know Jason's like, "Yeah, it's all right. You don't have to compete. We know who you are. You're on the team anyway." And like you say, Hylas just has to challenge him, and you know he demonstrates that he's got a bit of noggin as well. But you know the turncoat, the snake in the grass, Chris. I can't remember what his name is. I just never ever bought the fact that he would be able to hold his own, you know, in this Olympics. He's a scrawny little bloke. He's the son of King Pelias, isn't he? And yeah. I just never bought that he would be able to get onto the Argonauts. And apart from, you know, liking that bit, it's always bugged me a little bit when you see him qualifying as well.
Yeah, Acastus he's called, isn't he? That's it. Pelias sends his son to sabotage. Yeah, the boy. That's him. Yeah, and he agreed. Because, you know, you have got people in shape around this time. You know, it's not like certain people lifting, but in Hollywood, it was all about, like, the aesthetic of the slim leading man, wasn't it? And obviously, like, the ladies as well. You know, there was a certain look got you these parts.
On a black man, Chris.
Well, Dave, let's be honest here. I mean, I know, unfortunately, she's just passed away, but... Pussy galore, fucking damn right. Legend. Dave, that leather outfit. It was always a bit conflicting though as a kid, Dave, because when you used to watch Goldfinger, I used to think, fucking, well, she's well fit. And then thinking, hang on, she's the same age as me Nana. You know, that was like then. Me Nana's 93 now, Dave. So she was, you know, I mean, there was always that conflict because it was from years ago. But yeah, what a beautiful lady, without a doubt. And she, the Avengers as well, Dave, the UK Avengers she was in as well. But yeah, it's weird because when they do the Olympics thing, it's very quick. And I like the team, but you're right. You've got like the swimmer, the archery, you've got Hercules with the strength. Now, Hylas is, what made me laugh, Dave, is Hylas is the brains of the operation. Not very fucking brainy come to the next section when they come across the Talos statue and Hercules decides to be a fucking tea leaf and nick the fucking spear, Dave. It's a bit fucking, you know, bit shit, I'll tell us. You know, all that, like, I want, Hylas, sorry, all that thing, I want to come in the team, and I'm blah, 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 and he earns it. And you're thinking he's going to be a payoff at the end, and his brains are going to make him survive. But no, he's the first one to take one for the team. Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it? Because you kind of go through that, well, you get to the whole setup where you see Pelias sacking the city initially, and then, you know, it's only when he's older that he gets to meet Jason and whatever. All that, it's just set up, really. But when you get the team together, get the Argonauts together, for me, that's when it all kicks everything off. That's the start of the movie proper for me. And you're kind of expecting them to go off on this adventure and all be together and then, you know, get the fleece at the end. But like you say, straight away, they get caught up on this island. So Hera, you know, she can help Jason a number of times and she directs them to this island, says, don't touch anything. You know, you can only get food and that's it. And Hercules decides to get this overgrown brooch pin or something, and as if it's a javelin. But like you say, Hylas, considering there were a few minutes dedicated to this this piece where he's got onto the team, you know, he's turned up to the Olympics late, they're not the Olympics, but you know what I mean, the tryouts late.
Yeah,
and then, you know, he's gone up against Hercules. There are a fair few minutes and you're thinking, I'm bought into this character here. And then he hardly fucking lasts at all, does he? Because they, you know, after they've stolen that jewellery, you get the first proper bit of stop motion, don't you? It was the legendary Ray Harryhausen. And, you know, he had to manually, you know, basically treat it like a cartoon. So he had to move these 3D models ever so slightly, take another picture, move them again ever so slightly. And I've seen an interview with him where he was talking about if the phone went and he ended up talking on the phone for a bit, he'd come back and he'd think, oh, were they moving this way or were they moving that way? He wouldn't actually remember. And so, you know, it was all manual back then, and it was just him. Whereas now you've got teams of people working on CGI and everything. If you mess something up, control Z and just redo it again. So you just think how painstaking it would have been. But I think Talos just still looks great. You know, it looks dated, of course it does, and you know, it's very much that stop motion animation feel to it. But I do think it looks good. And like you say, they get chased off initially, and then Hera tells Jason, "Oh, look at his ankle. You know, that's his weak spot," kind of thing. And again, I think the animation is good. You know, for some reason, you know, letting the liquid out of his, or it looks like molten lava almost, out of his ankle means his throat.
Yeah.
Means he gets strangled. But, you know, again, you're sort of thinking, you're talking about a guy in his basement, like, playing about with the models. So there's no facial expressions, is there? So he's got to do something to sort of show that he's struggling. But, basically got this pin, which means nothing. Hercules had just literally nicked it. And then Hylos is like, "Hercules, you know, you've dropped your spear. Well, you should have fucking left it there, you dick." So, yeah, he fucking runs right back into the line of fire, doesn't he? And then Talos falls on him. And for some reason, out of all the sailors, no one actually saw it. So, yeah, you know, Hercules. Yeah, Hercules decides, "Oh, I'm gonna stay on the island and carry on looking for him."
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because you get this thing as well where Jason contacts Hera, doesn't he, again, you know, and it's like she tells him about Hylos being dead and Zeus's plans for Hercules and I think you're right with the stop motion, Dave. I think I always talk about this, but one of the things as a kid I used to be fascinated with is Star Wars, the chess pieces on the Millennium Falcon. When Luke's there with Obi-Wan and they've all just gotten the Millennium Falcon, that fucking chess piece picks up Chewbacca's and that stop motion, and it's not that far more advanced than this, really. The way they move and everything's very similar. I wouldn't even say this was like 12 years before Star Wars, so you couldn't really tell. Maybe some of the colouring might have been a bit better, but the movement's exactly the same. But yeah, I think you're right, Salas. It's a really weak way to kill him, but they've got to for the movie, obviously. There's this like ankle thing and all that. And then from there, you've got like... Jason's an interesting character because that beard is fucking quaffed so well, Dave. That's like a beard people have now. You know, like, it's General Zod.
He's proper got his, I was going to say manscaping. It's not quite manscaping, is it? But he's, you know, he's properly laid it all out there. You know, he's taken a lot of time, hasn't he? To get that beard just pristine. But no, I think it's a very, very good beard.
Yeah, I'm only jealous, Dave. Sam won't let me grow a beard. I'd love to have a beard, but she hates him, Dave. So, and plus, mine would be dead grey now. I think it used to have a bit of ginger brown in it. Now it'd just be grey. So
he'd be like the Santa jealous. Claus, Tim Allen.
I don't know if you've seen it, and I've probably said this before. Have you watched Violent Night yet?
I haven't. No.
Oh my gosh!
I should do. But I might wait till next Christmas now.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're sort of past all that now, aren't you? But I tell you what, Dave, brilliant film. absolutely brilliant. I was caught off guard of it. I saw the reviews. Wasn't expecting much. I saw Max had said it was great. Brilliant, brilliant movie. So I may have mentioned that before, so apologies, guys. But
is it like that Nobody? Is it something like that?
Yes. It's like a John Wick. It's like John Wick crossed with Home Alone. There's plenty of little gags in it and everything. And thing is, one of the main characters, Beverly D'Angelo, who I absolutely had a crush on, Dave. You know, obviously, you know, National Lampoon's not got a crush on her now, Dave, funny enough. I don't know what she's done. There's a lot of cosmetic surgery gone on there, unfortunately. But yes, very, very good movie. I definitely recommend it. Not for kids, though, without a doubt. Not for kids.
No, I'll definitely have to try that one out. But yeah, so I guess the next bit, I mean, they've moved away from the stop motion animation, haven't they? And the Hera sort of tells them, gives them a bit more direction. I think this is the last time that they can help. But, you know, she talks about going through these, what is it? The something cliffs.
Clashing rocks.
Clashing rocks, that's it. So you've got to go through there. And what's weird is, you know, just... coincidentally, you've also got another ship that's just ahead of them about to go through the clashing rocks. And that, you know, decimates their ship. So you can obviously see that that's what kind of happens. And then I think that's the last time Hera can help, because he ends up throwing the little model. And then what's the guy? It's not Neptune, is it? It's the guy who comes out of the water.
Triton,
yeah. So he comes out, but again, he's just like an old bloke, isn't it? it's so jarring. And again, you sort of think, well, back in 63, I'd have loved to have seen this on the cinema, you know, with the context of just never seeing anything like this before. So, you know, you'd have to think for then it was well done. But the problem is because the water droplets are so big, it's weird. It's hard to just, you can't make a little model. If you wanted to make a car crash or something, you know, you can easily kind of do that and then just zoom in and make something small look quite big. But with water, it's hard. And so I just find it jarring when you've had this great stop motion animation stuff, but then you've got this guy, you know, who's just... clearly holding back this model cliff.
The one bit on that, so I can forgive it a little bit more, I think, but it's when he goes back under the water, Dave, and he's clearly, there's some sort of green screen or something, and they're like, sort of, right, you've got to turn as if you're going back and you're submerging yourself underwater. And then he's like, sort of, almost collapses and turns away from the camera, but you can clearly see that he's not gone fully under. He's not gone low enough for the camera, and they try and keep it in with the boat. Obviously, Jason's in the, you know, the front, and that's in the background. And it's just, I agree, it's so fucking weird.
I haven't noticed that. I must have seen this film hundreds of times, but I'm gonna have to see if I can dig that bit out on YouTube now and see that bit. But I tell you what, I probably didn't notice as much when I was a kid. I did appreciate the fact that the little fin. Kind of his tail comes out of the water, you know, again, just showing he's not just a big giant. He is kind of half man, half fish. But I mean, they get through though. And then they're on their way to somewhere. They don't really know where yet. You know, they've set sail, but they've no idea where they're going. But they get through and they find this guy, this seer. He was a prophet, apparently, but because he'd misused his gifts, then Zeus punished him and he sent these harpies to torment him. And so it's only when he saves them, they capture the harpies, don't they? And then he tells them, you know, you can go to Colchis. But again, I just felt that whole scene, again, it looks dated, but I think the stop motion animation, I thought it looked brilliant. And what I like about this above kind of CGI, you know, it's all done by a computer, you know, it's done by some nerd in a, you know, in a computer lab kind of thing. Whereas this, you're trying to think, well, okay, how would they have done it? you know, there wasn't much of a precedent. And if you think about it, this was done in 63. It was 20 or 30 years they'd have been still using those same techniques. So I think I like the Harpy sequence, and I like how they, you know, they drop the nets and they, you know, they somehow manage to make it look like you've got these clay harpies in that net. So, yeah, it's another sequence that I particularly like. But I did think, you know, you got this old blind man, but who are the people who keep bringing him all this food?
But it's like Jason, isn't it? That woman, Media, like, I mean, it shows that it misrepresentation of women, you know, when we were younger, films, and even like when you're going out into the world hoping to like meet somebody, get a girlfriend, and if you followed movies, women literally will just drop the fucking knickers at the sight of the fucking hero of the movie, you know. So you're going around fucking, like, as a kid I'm going around thinking, well, this isn't how it actually works, is it? You know what I mean? Like, they're not just gonna dive on me and go, oh, that's it, hi Chris, you know. Jay's, I mean, she's pretty, don't get me wrong, she is really pretty, but Nancy Kovacs, she is, but it's just, it's so silly. And I think, like, we're more meta aware, aren't we, now, of how women are represented in movies, or misrepresented in movies, and that, you know, they're not just there as the eye candy, you know. They can play some cracking movies, you know, with the female leads, as they should be. But I'm not trying to go deep down to a rabbit hole, but this is of its time. It's not offensive, but it's just like, everyone fucking wants a piece of Jason, literally, and it's fucking brilliant. It's just like, this is so old school, isn't it? You know, like, the way it is, it's not one where you're like, oh god, that's jarring. We've watched movies and you're like, god, I can't believe they've put that in the movie, or the way they've treated women. It's not like that, but it's just that, it's like that romantic, you know, that it's like a, I don't know, it's like a rom-com way, all the women just like fall at his feet, and that ultimately that saves him anyway, because she's in love with him. It's just nonsense.
That's it. I mean, to be fair, they do rescue her. Yes. Because there was like her and someone else who were the only survivors, conveniently. And then for some reason, she says, you know, head off that way to Colchis and I'll head this way. But the fact that she's willing to betray her own people, you know, she's grown up there all the time and Jason does almost nothing. There's no chemistry at all, I don't think, between them. But she's willing to, you know, drug everyone and, you know, she goes to her own god to pray for, you know, how she can help Jason and whatever. It's not, you're right, it's not like, you know, really suck back on your teeth and go, oh, that's terrible, that is. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? You know, Jason does nothing and yet she's madly in love with him and willing to betray everyone for him.
Yeah, again, morally, that would sit. And I do like the fact that they're chasing this golden fleece, which looks like a bag of shit, Dave. It looks like something you've dragged off the fucking local tip or something. It's like the golden fleece can heal everyone, can't it? And it does heal Medea, but it looks so bad. It looks just like they've skinned an animal and just gone, yeah, there we go, we're just going to use that. It's really bizarre.
Get some gold spray paint and stick it on it. But, no, I mean, the fact that they do get betrayed, the old snake in the grass has shocked him out, but then he's gone to pinch the fleece as well. You get to see the Hydra, you know, and again, I can only imagine how difficult and how painstaking it was to get all of those limbs moving, all of those different heads moving, and, you know, you've got the actors, you're trying to say to them, you're trying to direct them, you know, you're going to have to swing your sword this way and that way, the head's going to be coming from this side, and, you know, at this angle and whatever. It's great to just think how visionary it was for that time. But not that it looks realistic now, but, you know, again, I just appreciate the how far ahead of everything else it was at the time. I say that. I mean, there's other movies that were out there that use stop motion animation, but like I say, Harryhausen was at the forefront of all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, they do nick the fleece. I mean, they are basically thieves. This thing was there. However it got there, the local people think it's the gift from the gods, and yet in the film, they're the arseholes. So yeah, he kind of they do kill off the Hydra, and then you know they run off with it, and then this for me builds up to the best bit. Because, again, there's been some impressive moments. You know, Talos, I think, was impressive. You got the Hydra that's impressive. I think the Harpies were impressive. But when he gets the Hydra's teeth and then scatters them about on the floor, and you get the skeletons raising out of the ground, I just think that looks so good. And again, you think of the complexity. You think of all the moving parts of a skeleton. I just think it's so good, and it's such a tense build-up as well, you know, because even the bloke, he scattered the teeth around, but he doesn't really know what's going to happen. And then, you know, you get the music building up as well, and, you know, he's like, kill, kill, kill them all. I think this set piece is brilliant.
It is, but I'm going to be Chris Phelps the bell end, because I think a movie that we've reviewed on this podcast took inspiration from some of Jason's fighting scenes, Dave, because the stop motion stuff, I think when it pans out and you've got like the Hydra assaulting him, and then obviously the skeleton's brilliant. It reminds me of Ghouls and Ghosts, the computer game. You're very, you know, I mean, that's a side-scrolling game, but the same story sort of thing, idea behind like the skeletons and all that, and they collapse on the floor and then get up and everything. But there's loads of bits that reminded me of Frank from fucking Samurai Cop, Dave, because Jason's there, right on his face, the camera's on his face, and he's just there going crazy. And it's like, you're not hitting anything. It looked realistic side, but from the front, they're just like, right, just rampage your fucking knight, your sword, and just go crazy on the screen. Right, action. And it's not horrendous, but it's funny. It's really funny.
Yeah. No, it's obvious, isn't it? Even from the side, and there's the guy who goes up these little steps, and I think, you know, I think there's some moments there, it does look like he's just swinging at fresh air, which of course he is. But, you know, I mean, it's like you can almost see the strings in it. It's not quite as believable. But even there's a moment where I think it's in that when the guy is up on the ledge kind of thing, and so he's looking down and you've got the skeleton underneath and he's kind of swinging his sword looking up. And so again, it's clear, you know, they're not actually in combat, but it's so iconic. I just think it looks great, you know, and I feel like that's one of the scenes that you see over and over again. If you ever see any compilation things on YouTube or whatever, probably see it on memes and what have you. I just think it's shown again and again, and I just think it still looks great. But yeah, in terms of being believable, here we are in 2023. Yeah, doesn't look believable at all. But again, for something that's 50 years old, is it 50? It's 60, isn't it?
Not 60, 50. Yeah, 60.
Yeah, it's 60 years old. I still think I'm just so impressed by it.
I'm with you. I'm not taking the piss like in a bad way. I think it holds up really well. I think what's interesting, Dave, and I think we talked about this off the podcast, but it's set up for a sequel, isn't it? But ultimately, there was never a sequel, was there, unfortunately? But it deserved it, reviewed really well. It's still positive. It's got great scores. I know it's retro reviewed on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff, but it's still like really high up in the high 80s and stuff like that. But ultimately, it made absolutely bugger all on toast, didn't it, at the cinema. So it was never going to be a sequel. But the way Zeus says it at the end, he's like, I have plans for Jason. And then it's like, oh, we're going into a sequel. And I was looking for a sequel. I'm like, nope. And I had to ask you, and you were like, nope, there's no sequel because it made fuck all. So yeah, what a shame.
It is a shame, isn't it? But I guess it's one of those, when they make the movie, they've got to kind of gamble. They've got to put that little nugget out there and just say, oh, you know, there's something else coming. I mean, I've no idea. I you know, kind of used to be into Greek mythology and everything, but I don't particularly remember if, you know, what other adventures he had after. So you can only think that they would have had other things planned out. But yeah, when you when you make less than you spend, then it's generally not a good thing. So, yeah, I think it's just one of those that it's just obviously became this cult classic, certainly in the UK, and just through being shown again and again and again, you know, every Christmas and Easter and what have you. So, you know, I just think it is a shame, but also it's a great kind of time capsule as well. It's just this one and done thing. If it was done today, Chris, I mean, you'd probably have, I don't know, you'd probably have multiple movies. You'd have a whole trilogy for Hercules before he joins up with the Argonauts, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So maybe the Jason and the Argonauts movie only even gets you up to the tryouts, you know, and then they get the Avengers together, sorry, the Argonauts, you know, and then that's it. That's the end of the film. So, yeah, it was one of those. It's probably made, in fact, most of the things we cover, apart from the ridiculous ones, you know, most of the things are a financial success, aren't they? The ones that are as well known as this. But, yeah, it's purely through the TV, I guess. But, yeah, it's a shame.
It is a shame. Deserves, though. It deserves it, Dave. So, Dave, have you got anything else to say before we get into our scores?
No, let's go.
So, Dave, brilliant, brilliant pick from Maths. Really completely opened my eyes and just showed me how silly it has been for me just to completely ignore this type of movie. And like say, catching so many bits of the movie over the years, I was just like, I'm not watching this shit. You know, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's of its time. I like the team up aspect of it. Jason's a bit of a badass, really. You know, he's got a mixture of what everyone else in the team has got. So, you know, Hercules is super strong, but he's also got super strength. He's got great intelligence. He leads the team. I think it works together. And he gets the women, Dave. He rescues a woman as well.
Oh, of course.
Brings her back to life. You know, she's Honor Blackman, Pussy Galore, and, you know, absolute a gorgeous woman of a time, without doubt. She's one of the absolute stunners of the movies back then. But, yeah, I just really enjoyed it. And I think for me, Dave, I'm going to send it to Hill Valley. Completely caught me off guard. I wasn't looking forward to it, but I ended up being completely like involved in the story and everything, and did think if there was a sequel, I'd probably watch it. So, yeah, shame there wasn't, but really, really good pick from Maths. So, what about yourself, Dave?
Very good, very good. So, I've loved this since being a kid, and I've not watched it for a number of years now. So, it was a good, you know, good excuse to roll back the years and stick it on. I can't think. You know, I haven't caught it on TV for a number of years now. And we were talking the other week, weren't we, about how, you know, because of all the different streaming services, the opportunity to just catch something on TV is less and less now, I think. So I wonder if, you know, future generations will see this, because I think it is one of those that even for the kids, I think they should go back and watch stuff like this. And for me, I find it more interesting to think, well, how did they actually do all of these special effects? You know, because you can literally think of like doing it yourself at home, couldn't you? You can wrap your head around it, as opposed to, well, you just got this specialist computer program, you know, and that's sort of how you set it all up these days. So, yeah, I think the score is great. I think there are various little highlights within the movie, like say the kind of mini Olympics, the tryouts, if you like, for getting onto to the Argo, I think is great. The scenes with Talos, the fight with the Hydra, but the pièce de résistance, the skeletons at the end, I just think is a fantastic fight. And, you know, again, it looks so, so good. And you think of how complicated it is to replicate a human being actually fighting with swords and shields and stuff. I just think it's mind-boggling how good it is. So for me, again, I'm going to rate it on a curve slightly. So, you know, the special effects for today obviously wouldn't stand up. But, you know, you go back, you look at the fact that this is 60 years old, how groundbreaking it was, how good it looks, and how influential it was for everything that came after. So I'm going to put it in Pleasantville. Not the highest Pleasantville, but it's definitely right up there. And I think I might have to force the kids to watch this one as well.
I think they'll enjoy it, to be honest, Dave.
Yeah.
No, good pick, good pick. Now, Dave, it is my, well, it's my second pick of 2023, but I've been wrestling with this now, right? So I had a 70s classic picked, starring Mr. Eastwood, Dave. But and I'm saying that in the voice of Back to the Future 3, Mr. Eastwood. But this is your fault. I'm blaming this all on you. So this podcast is built, one of the foundation blocks of this podcast is built on the greatest martial arts expert we have ever seen, Dave. And we're going back to 1998, where Mr., and we haven't said his name for a few episodes, Lauren Avedon is an ex-Navy SEAL who has got psychic powers, who has to rescue a kidnapped child.
It just sounds like stuff that just all these different plot points, just throw them at the wall, see what sticks. Right, we're going for it. Or like a game. You could have a spin the bottle type game, couldn't you, with plot points?
when it did, like, was it Manhattan Chase or whatever it was called?
Oh, God.
This was up for consideration. It was a close fucking run thing between this one. So we're going back to 1998. This is a classic Lauren Avedon movie, Dave, called Deadly Ransom. So here's the trailer.
There's been a recent series of abductions of wealthy businessmen in Rio de Janeiro over the past 8 months. The deal is hostage for ransom.
Let's start with, say, $50 million.
$50 million? He's crazy.
That's why you're here, Max. Max, Jackie and her father are being held for ransom. This is the first time an American's been abducted.
This video is your first introduction into the new game, Your Money or Your Life.
So until the payment is made, Jackie and Mr. Marlin will be kept alive.
What's the time frame?
10 days.
$5,000,000, 生命保障0%, 最悪の犯罪軍団, Grey Urbus.
Anyhow, there's this undercover American guy coming down here to rescue the fair damsel in distress. Lila said he's one of those commando types. Killer trained by Uncle Sam.
Girl! The American girl and her father, where are they?
Rico. He has them.
Who's Rico?
Actually, I'm just a dope addict who loves
FBI を手玉に取る最強武装ジャッキ
ー。 What do you think we are? Chop liver?
I'm going after these guys with a vengeance. Anybody who gets in my way, I'm going to rip their head off. Nothing is going to stop me from rescuing Jackie and her father. You got it?
奴らは海からやってくる。囚われた愛する人を救うため、男たちが挑む決死の奇襲作戦。海軍特殊部隊 C、そして CIA の怒りが炸裂する。
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. It's your fate to die.
Face Off, Jackal などに続き、今話題の超肉弾軍事アクション最新作、ついに登場。Deadly Cougar.
Talk about a fucking Chuck Norris ripoff.
I can't even come to you and say that I've even seen this one, but it's the worst reviewed Lauren Avedon movie, and we are going through it next week, my friend. And for everyone listening, yes, it's available on YouTube, everyone. An hour and 37 of glorious Avedon for 2023. He's back, baby. I cannot wait for this, Dave. Fucking
well,
brilliant.
Well, it gets a monstrous 3.5 on IMDb, which is one of the lowest things I think I've seen on IMDb. Basically, if you just make a film, you seem to start at 5 with IMDb. And I'm just having a quick look on Letterboxd here. And one review from Famous Mortimer says, so generic, I'd forgotten I'd already seen it.
What a film, Dave. Oh, God. What a film. How you let me keep picking Lauren Avadon is unbelievable. I've not done one for a while.
I think we must have covered more Avadon films than anyone else on the internet. I'm pretty sure.
I am as well. He gets royalties every time we do these. I hope he's listening, Dave. Fucking brilliant. I love the stick I get online, though. Straight away, people just come at me like Glenn and everyone. Just like, you fucking something wrong with you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. So massive thank you to Maths today for picking. Great stuff, mate. And he's one of our patrons. If you want to support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. And if you do want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. So today's roll call of honour is Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Alec, Paul, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys, for indulging us with some great pick maths. But next week, we are back to our best next week, Dave. I cannot wait for you to message me. Just be like, I hope I watched you. What I love is if you watch it before me and I just get there, you watched it. And usually you've watched them before me. And I'm like, no. And you'll be like, oh, right. Okay. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I know I'm putting myself through the ringer, but just seeing that beautiful fucking pointy nose martial arts expert on the screen, Dave, once again, is all I need, my friend.
I'm actually tempted to stick this on right after we've finished, actually, but I am intrigued. That trailer has whetted my appetite for how bad this can be. Because, when we were doing the whole Christmas thing and went back and looked at our 12 Days of Christmas at the time, we had some cracking shit movies back then. a couple of years ago, we did like Snake in the Monkey's Shadow, Miami Connection, For Your Height Only. We had some absolute classic shit movies. And I think this might be the first one of this year.
Amazing, amazing. So massive thanks, mate. And I've loved this. So we will see you next time.
Bye now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's annoying.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ring the bell.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.